course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm sticking in there, just living the life. The other day I was walking down the street and saw a little red balloon floating on by. It was a little weird.
I'm not going to ask what you did after that, because that could get creepy. This is, as the day of release, it is officially the last episode prior to Halloween. And, we can make that a sad thing, or we can stick to our motto that we celebrate Spooktober year-round. It's always Halloween here on Listen to Their Screams. Don't fret when you need your good spooking. Just tune us in and listen to an episode. And as Ike alluded to, we are going to review It, Welcome to Derry, Episode 1 today. Spoiler-free. But as I mentioned, this is the last episode prior to Halloween. That means as of the day this drops, the next day will be Friday, October 31st, which is Halloween. And we will be releasing a bonus episode. So back-to-back episodes this week because of the way Halloween falls. And it will be the fourth annual Screams Family Halloween episode, which features an appearance by our wives. We play some trivia and just a bit more. So be sure to listen to that on Halloween, or even after. It'll still be a fun listen after. So you do get a bonus episode on Halloween, as you do every year, from us here at Listen to Their Screams. We did switch things up. We were going to review Shelby Oaks. We had a little scheduling conflict trying to get to see it because of limited showings and whatnot. So hopefully some of you all got to go see Shelby Oaks. I'm still looking forward to seeing it at some point in time. But if you did get to go see it, hit us up on social media. Let us know what you thought. So since we couldn't go get to see that, we thought we would talk a little bit, spoiler-free, of course, about It, Welcome to Derry, Episode 1. So there you go. That is the swerve and the change in plans. It's always a fluid situation when you do a podcast. But before we dive further into all matters spooky, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Well, let's see. I had a real busy week at work, so I did not have a lot of time to watch stuff. I've been intermittently watching some horror movies here and there, just trying to, stay up on the spooky season. I rewatched the first Nightmare on Elm Street, as well as Friday the 13th, even though I started watching Friday the 13th and I forgot that I had already watched it earlier this month. So I just watched it a second time. Other than that, been watching a lot of just miscellaneous stuff. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah, me too. Super busy with this and that and all kinds of things going on. Rewatch us. Scream 1, 2, and 3. I have started rewatching the Scream franchise, and I got to the first three. That's where I stand as of now. I think that was it as far as things I've watched horror related, besides the first episode of Welcome to Derry. So, all right, now that we've got all the opening comments and all the hello, how are yous out of the way, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have our news, birthdays, and all that good jazz. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back to the news. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started here. First things first, The Creep Season 2 premieres on November 14th on Shudder. Creep tapes, I should specify.
Yeah, Creep tapes, yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about The Creep. We both love Creep. Maybe we're both creeps too. I don't know.
Could be.
Could be. Not like, you know, like the, you know, molester creeps. No, we're just like spooky. We love this series. The first season, honestly, was really strong. There were a couple. I think there was only one episode that I didn't love, but I think all of them were still good. So I'm really excited to see where they go with the season two for sure.
Me too. I'm confusing something. I thought I heard there was going to be an episode that ties in his mom. I don't know. I could be confused on that. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. I love the Creep movies, love Creep tapes. It's good stuff. I look forward to seeing what they do. And I know, I don't remember the names, but I remember at one point in time we rattled off some of the names that were supposedly on board for episodes. And I think it's a pretty good list. I think they've got some pretty good, guest stars. If anybody watched the first season, right, there's not a lot of actors in it, right? Most episodes is just, the Peach Fuzz guy, Mark, what's his last name? Mark, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'm sorry, I'm shooting a blank on that. But the Peach Fuzz guy, and then usually one other person. There might have been occasion here or there with maybe somebody else here and there. I don't know. But
Mark Duplass.
Yeah, Mark Duplass, that's it. So, each episode does not have a very big cast, but there was a few names rattled off there that was pretty impressive. So it should be fun. Very much looking forward to it. I'm loving the quick turnaround because it's like, I don't know. We just hear stuff of, oh, there's going to be a third season, definitely, or whatever else. And, oh, by the way, here's season two ready to go, and it's coming out soon. So it's like, I like that they're not making us wait, and it's keeping the interest up in my eyes. So again, I will forever toot the horn of the Creep franchise. If you're not on board, if you have not watched or dove in, you are missing out, and you need to, as soon as possible, watch the movies, watch season one, get caught up to watch season two, because this is some fun shit.
Absolutely, 100%. So, we'll probably circle back closer to November 14th and possibly even review these episodes as they come out, assuming that it's going to be an episodic release, which it most likely will be.
Yeah, it was like that first season, right? We did, right? We each week we reviewed our movie, but we also talked a little bit about each episode. So, I don't know. I mean, if they do it that way again, I feel like we'll do it again because it's we're going to want to talk about them.
Very true. Very true. But well, good. We'll keep an eye on that. And like I said, we will definitely circle back to the Creep tapes in the upcoming weeks. But we have a couple other news release type things. First things here, we have Bone Lake and Good Boy, both available video on demand. Both of these were, I know Bone Lake was the one that you got to see on the Scream Unseen, right?
Yeah.
And then Good Boy, of course, is the horror movie that's in the purview of the dog.
Yeah. Bone Lake was fun. It's a good watch. I think people should watch it. It was fun. And Good Boy, I haven't seen yet, but it's one of those movies I'm dying to see. I absolutely can't. I'm really super excited to see it because I want to see how they did it. I love dogs, so I love that this is the main guy, the main actor, the main star of the movie. And you know what? Give this Good Boy some awards. Let's put him up. Why not? He should be up for some awards. And but no, I'm really looking for. I can't wait to watch Good Boy. And again, Bone Lake was fun. People should watch it. It's a good little horror movie.
Yep, absolutely. And before we get on this last one, I do want to do like a little not really a shout out, but another movie that got released that I told Dave about, which maybe I'll watch this weekend and talk about next week. So there's a guy on YouTube for people who were maybe around YouTube in like the early 2010s. there is a guy, his name, he goes by McJugger Nuggets on YouTube. Super stupid name. But he has his own production company called, I think it's Rigid Studios. And he made like an actual full-length movie called Don't Dream About Me. The trailer looks pretty good. It's more in the line of like a supernatural drama, kind of. But I don't know. There's a lot of crossover with horror and supernatural stuff. And so I just wanted to throw it out there in case anybody is looking to watch something like that. It does seem to be in the style of sort of like a mockumentary kind of
Yeah,
deal.
absolutely.
But it's on YouTube and Apple, I believe, right now. I think they're going to get an actual streaming site of some sort at some point later in time. But for right now, those are the two places folks can watch it if they want to.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool, right? You sent me the trailer, and I thought it looked pretty interesting. And I did note that, man, the trailer was long. It was oddly long. I'm not, to say it's, if that's good or bad. I'm indifferent. Whatever it is, just it was very odd, very long for a trailer. But yeah, it looks interesting. It looks intriguing. So
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be
absolutely.
a fun watch. And yeah, I mean, we're always support support these independent filmmakers and everything else. This. Who knows? This movie might break through and pick up steam like so many movies have. You never know.
Absolutely. Well, and honestly, it was weird. I don't know what the reasoning for this was, but they released the movie on the same day that they released the first trailer for it. So,
Oh.
which is very unusual. I don't know. I'm sure there was a reason behind it, but but anywho, but yeah. So if anybody wants to watch that this weekend, they have plenty of stuff to watch. There's plenty of stuff on video on demand. So, spooky season is upon us. So.
That's right. Now this next news item, this has come up. This is kind of a it's really kind of a hot topic that just recently broke, and I'm not saying that with I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. I'm being very serious. And now like we have to take off our bias and our fan glasses here, right? And approach this journalistic, right? Because, okay, go ahead and talk about the news bit, and I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like Dave said, we're going to approach this just from a very analytical perspective. But there was a recent lawsuit filed by Catherine Cochran, or Cochran, who played Dawn in Terrifier. She was the character that was sawed in half upside down by Art's Clown, arguably the most iconic
That's
film in that
right.
movie.
That's right. That does need to be noted, right? That it,
Yes.
I think that is an important fact that that kill scene, one of the most iconic, maybe ever, but definitely in the franchise. And I think it's, I not to get off too, but it is very important to note that that kill scene had a lot of effect on this franchise finding some roots and its explosion.
No, absolutely. And like, and just to reiterate, that is a very important thing to think about in the context of what we're about to talk about, because she filed a lawsuit against Damon Leone and just the company at large, claiming that she is owed money based on a back-end deal that was supposed to pay her 1% of all profits across the franchise for what is believed to be a 2-year period. And it would include all profits from box office, streaming, live events, merchandise, and other aspects. There are other claims along with this, such as she wasn't given. There's so, and these are all allegations, right? So I just want to make that clear.
Yes.
We're not taking you on side,
No.
but we are in the business of listening to potential victims. Okay,
That's right. Absolutely.
so we are in the business of listening to people, and we are in the business of hearing what they have to say. And in this case, she is claiming that there was sexual harassment,
Yeah.
that she did not get the proper SAG-AFTRA approval for her nude scene, that
Correct.
there was misgivings with the actual scene itself, that she was left in a position, a very compromising position, for
Yes.
much longer than she should have been, and that she affected, that there were some health issues according to that. Now, there's a lot that goes on in this. Damon Leone, Phil Falcone, and their whole entire team have basically, essentially, unequivocally said this is all false.
Yes.
And that's the bare bones of what's going on. Now,
Which, by the way, on a side note, I could be wrong that this has nothing to do with this, and I'm not trying to make light of this by pointing this out. I saw Leone's his lawyer's name. Off the top of my head, I believe that was the guy that was in the one Friday the 13th movie that played the goofy guy that played all the tricks on everybody. And I do believe he is a lawyer now.
Really?
And I could be wrong. I could be mixing the name up. But that's just on a side note. I don't know. I caught that name in an article, and I thought, is that the guy? Which, whatever. But that is not here nor there in the story. Just an odd side note.
Absolutely. But I guess the thing that we all have to kind of keep in mind is that, these are allegations. There is a suit in place. There's a lot of, stuff that has to go on in the background before we really get the full picture. And like you said, I'm always in the business of believing a victim when they come forward, having that, presence of, we want to hear what you have to say is 100% important. So people out there who love Terrifier, they need to put that aside and look at this through the scope of, imagine if this was like someone that you loved. You would want them to come forward.
Sure.
And I think that's the big thing, right? And here's the thing. We're not saying that she's telling 100% the truth. She could 100% be flubbing on something. We don't know. But we have to take into consideration, in my opinion, that she came forward at this juncture after she's already made money. I don't see what she could gain by having these accusations. She could have basically just filed a lawsuit and said, "Hey, you owe me money." The sexual harassment part isn't really going to get her anything other than having her story be told, in my opinion.
Yes. Now, to be fair, the sexual harassment part, this and that, is not actually part of the lawsuit per se. The
Correct.
lawsuit is about the money owed.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that that was thrown in there to try to. Here's the thing. What happened? Okay. Here's what I'm thinking. Terrifier was a shoestring budget movie being made.
Yep.
Catherine did this movie. In a kind of a good faith scenario, instead of getting a blanket pay, she agreed to this back, which these back end deals happen in Hollywood, right? Where you get so much. She took a chance on this film, and to get the profits. Again, in this case, if this is true, and I've not seen the contract, but I'm assuming that is right. I'm assuming it's out there, right? There wouldn't be a lawsuit if there was not a contract about this 1%. What I don't understand and what I've not seen is how this all works. I've heard a 2-year period. I don't know what that means. When the time period begins, ends, what that, no matter what the case, a back end deal in this case would have been very beneficial for her. It would have worked out. It would have been a beneficial gamble financially. Because she should have made a lot of money. The movie did very well, and then if the contract lumps in merchandise and other aspects, she probably would have made more money with this deal, taking this chance, than she probably would have been if she had just charged her flat rate and got paid that. Now she's claiming they've only paid her $8,300 of this thing. She's claiming she has approached them. They've kind of brushed her off of, trying. I'm sure if it were brought up, they're not gonna say anything, right? Without speaking to counsel and whatever else. So, whatever the case may be, this is where we're at on this. Now, there's two aspects of this. There's the money owed, right? Which I feel within my heart of hearts, she's probably owed money.
Yeah.
I feel very strongly that she is owed money. I feel very strongly she will get this money. I don't think, I mean, if there's a contract, if there's a deal, if it's not been paid, I don't think there's going to be a lot of arguing in that case where it's going to help anyway. They're going to have to pay her money. And again, I've not read the contract, so I don't know that. But now the other stuff, here's my thing. There is legal verbiage with certain things phrased, and her having showing up, not knowing she has to do this scene nude, things like that, to me, that's what they're, I think, classifying as sexual harassment.
Yeah.
And the fact that they probably asked her to do so, and if the proper avenues were not sought, that that's not a good thing. You should have done it. Some people have said that, if you don't do that, it's a ratings thing, right? Because it affects your ratings and this and that. So I don't know. And again, I don't know how you prove that. I'm not saying I don't believe her, because that's not the case at all. I'm a fan of this franchise. I'm a fan of Damien Leone, and everything else. But I'm just saying, if that was a scenario where they didn't go through the proper avenues, she wasn't given the proper warning, advance notice, and she still agreed to do this, that's not right. No matter what the amount of pressure, it's improper. It's not the right way to do this. I do know, regardless of, and yes, the physical side, I mean, she was hanging upside down. That
Yeah.
is not good, right? That is not anything you want to do prolonged. And she has said that filming that, right, she could only do it for so long, and it was a very long shoot, so she could only do it for a little bit, stop, do it. It was strenuous. It was difficult. The whole thing was a very odd scenario to be put into. I feel like she was very much a team player, benefit of the movie. She went ahead and did these things for the best of the project. And even if she did, that doesn't mean there shouldn't be accountability if it wasn't done right. As much as I love these guys in the franchise, if it was not properly done, if it was not properly documented, that's wrong. It's not the right way to do things. Yes, I know it's easy to say, oh, she should have stood up and not done it. Well, when you're involved in this project that you believe in, and you think you have this back end deal where the success of this project will can garner you more money, people are dedicated and they do these things. And it's not her fault that if she were put in this position, to go forth and go ahead and do this regardless of. That's not on her.
Yeah.
Again, none of this has gone to court yet. Nothing's been, proven one way or another. I tend to feel I lean on her side. I believe she's the primary matter at hand is, she's owed money. I'm guessing that's probably right. If there is a number being thrown out there of 8,300 by her side, there's probably some documented proof of that. You I don't I would legally that's that's not a smart move to throw out a number if you don't have proof that's all you've received. 8,300 does not sound like the right amount for what she should for 1% of those profits. No. I just don't I don't believe that. So I don't know. It's a very messy scenario. This stuff happens in movies. It shouldn't. It's one of the downsides of these, of doing independent films, where people are dedicated, on board with the project, so they make these deals to help the project with not receiving their usual stipend, and getting more on the back end. It's very, it's very messy. It could be very messy if that project, especially if that project's successful. And again, I love these movies. I passionately love these movies. But that doesn't, I mean, I still love the movies. That's not going to change. But if they did this wrong, if they handled the situation wrong, then yes, there needs to be repercussions. They need to make it right financially, and whatnot, and whatever else. Again, there's all this other stuff, and I know you bring up whatever these other allegations and stuff. These are not legal filings on those yet. Those are supporting. I think what those are supporting descriptions of how this was not maybe the most organized together and with it production in their eyes to try to verify that this is not being handled right. You know, it's just to show the scenario of what it was. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'd be curious to see what the timing was of it coming up now. I'm guessing she's probably, I would think, tried to reach out to people, tried to handle this. Because she's, you know, she does conventions. She does these appearances, you know, and everything else. So I'm guessing she has tried to exhaust, she's exhausted her avenues of trying to get this settled and taken care of. And I guess, you know, you get to a certain point when it doesn't happen to you, you got to do something. So, you know, I don't know. I fear that people are going to really come hot and heavy at her. And I think that's unfair. I think people need to not be biased because of what they like and don't like. If she has a contract that says something, she has a contract. There, you know, it is what it is. If she was contractually told something and she's not been paid what was supposed to be, then it's wrong. She needs to be compensated. And shame on them if there has been any purposeful intent to try not to make that right. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the scenario. That's, I guess, is for the courts to decide. But again, I have to look at this unbiased, and I tend to lean towards her and believe that she was probably wronged, at least in the financial aspect. The other stuff, I think that is probably an awkward situation that maybe should not have happened. So I don't know. You know, I don't know. If they did not properly file the right forms with the union and stuff for the other, yeah, that's not good either. Don't do that. So, and unfortunately, though, those are some of the downfalls of making an independent film, right? You try to find shortcuts. I'm not condoning anything. I'm just saying you do things like that to try to save some money, to try to curb, you know, cut a thing here or there, to try to avoid certain eyes on certain things. And you know, a lot of that probably slips by, but when something that is done that way catches fire and really succeeds, yeah, probably at some point some of that stuff is going to come out. I'm not saying they did it. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying, yeah, I don't know. I think the situation probably leans towards you know, I think there's maybe some truth to what happened. But again, I think, you know, the key point is, as far as I'm understanding, legally speaking, it is right now is purely a the pay not being where it should be. That's what's legally at stake right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the important thing too, is that, you know, beyond anything else, and you said it, no lawyer worth their worth is going to file a lawsuit against people in this case without something to at least corroborate what's being claimed.
I mean,
And
if you can't flat out produce a contract showing this, you don't have a case. I mean, I don't even know if you get to the point of filing it if you don't have a contract showing that this deal exists. So if it's got to this point, you know, there's probably some weight, you know. So yeah, she deserves contractually what she was supposed to have been paid. 100%, no doubt about it.
yep,
So,
absolutely. But all right, we talk about that a lot, and I'm sure we could talk about it even more. It's a frustrating situation because, like you said, you know, this is a series very near and dear to our heart, and we don't like to see conflict from within. And you know, and it's also it, to me something that's strange as well is I have not really heard much in terms of comment from other people within the series, like you know, nothing from you know David Harrod Thornton, Jenna Connell, you know, and perhaps they're you know contract you know contractually bound to not say anything, you know, that's very possible as well. But you know, I'm very
And it
curious to see if
is.
any.
Well,
I'm
because,
very curious. Yeah, go ahead.
yeah, because, I mean, well, clearly David Howard Thornton was there on the at that shoot. So
Right.
he, I mean, again, I mean, can he? Will he say anything? I don't know. And again, I'm not, I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. I don't want to believe there was misgivings, misdoings, because, you know, in my heart, I don't want that as part of this. I don't know. I again, it's hard to speak on it without sounding like you're trying to take a side in it. To me, here's what I'm thinking. If the proper paperwork with the union, such and so, whatever it might be, was not filed. She showed up. They said, "Ah, can you go ahead and do this? It's really important for the scene to get the impact." And she says, "Okay, you know, that might have been the extent of it." Again, I'm not undermining that because that's pressure that shouldn't have been there. That has no place in it. It should have been handled properly. She should have been notified ahead of time. She should have known what she was going into. So I'm not undermining it. But people maybe leave to the extremes of it. And while it may not be the extremes, so I'm not, it's weird, it's hard to say, right? Because while it may not have been extreme situation, that didn't make it right. That didn't make it okay. But I don't know that everybody should jump to a preconceived notion of what happened here. Because it might have been a little more finite than what you would think. But while still being inappropriate. So I'll leave it there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sure more information will come from this in the coming weeks and months. So we'll keep up to date on it. We'll do our due diligence and we'll kind of see, you know, how this plays out. But until then, we are going to move on to our upcoming birthday, starting off strong, and we'll try and rock through these. But October 30th, 1981, Fionn Dorr. Of course, you know, Curse of Chucky, the Chucky series. Course related to the legendary Brad Dorff, the voice of Chucky. But Fiona, I genuinely believe that, you know, one day if Brad decides not to do the voice anymore, Fiona's got my vote because she does a mean Chucky impersonation in the series.
Yeah, she's a man, she's talented. She does so, I mean, she impersonates her dad to a T. It's remarkable. Yeah, she's super talented. They're super lucky to have her part of the franchise.
Yes, absolutely. And she's also in the Chucky documentary that they did a
That's
couple
right.
years ago.
That's right.
But good stuff. But happy birthday, Fiona. We're going to jump to, of course, it's not a birthday, but October 31st is Halloween. And don't forget to listen to our family Halloween special episode. So that's a real quick reminder. Make sure you check back in with us on Thursday. And on Friday, because we got a normal episode Thursday, and then on Friday, our special bonus episode where you get some fun little goodies from us.
That's right.
Moving on to November 1st, 1976. Can't believe I'm saying November 1st. It's already here.
Yeah.
Chad Lindbergh, Ash in Supernatural. Ash is, of course, one of
Super fun.
Ellen's.
That's
He's one
right.
of Ellen's friends, right in the
That's
bar, right?
right. Yeah, the guy with the mullet. As
Man,
he says, you know, business in the front, party in the back. But such a great guy. He was
very
also, that's
underutilized.
right. He was also in some of the Fast and the Furious movies. I don't really watch those movies, but I do know he was in that franchise somewhere.
Really? I did
Yeah.
not know
So probably more known for that, but I whatever. He's Ash to me.
that. I was gonna say I think he's very underutilized. He was only in a couple episodes, and then he. spoiler alert, he died.
That's right. Yeah,
Yeah, very
he's
cool.
awesome. I love him.
Well, happy birthday, Chad. And jumping now to November 1st of 1926, we have Betsy Palmer, who played Pamela Voorhees in Friday the 13th. And if I remember correctly, didn't she just do the movie just because she wanted to buy a car?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's.
Something silly like, oh, I just wanted to do this just to buy a car,
Yeah.
or it wasn't like she was specifically seeking this out. It was like, okay, I'll do it. Why not?
Yeah, I don't think she was working a whole lot at that point, right? She did a lot of stuff before that, and yeah, it's just something she wanted to purchase or something. It's just like, yeah, okay. And probably what she's most known for. And I do believe afterwards she very much came to adore being a part of that. I do think she's no longer with us, of course, but I do think at some point in time, she did some fan convention things and very much enjoyed being known for that role and what it meant. And of course, technically she pops up in other episodes, right? Maybe flashbacks or voice clips and whatnot. So, I mean, by technical accounts, she's in more of the series, but she was it in the first movie. She was the person, the killer,
Yep.
the slasher.
The OG.
That's right. And she was great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She was fantastic. And and it's always good to hear that they don't resent that film, because a lot of times people who are perhaps not known for horror movies, who then get roped into doing a horror movie, they sometimes are like, yeah, I don't really like that movie.
Yeah. I'm and I could be wrong. I think I've read things where she was almost amused, right, by the attention it got her at the time. It's just something you don't expect, right? She didn't expect to get and I think I mean how can if you are not a douche, how could you not enjoy it, right? It's cool to have something you're known for like that and be appreciated for it. And she did a great job. She should have been, celebrated.
Absolutely. But very good. Happy birthday, Betsy. And we're going to jump now to November 2nd of 1981. Catherine Isabel, of course known as Eva and Supernatural, one of Yellow Eyes' children. Ginger Snaps, of course. She's one of the sisters, and then she's also in Freddy vs. Jason. But she's done quite a bit. I mean, Catherine Isabel is I would say a mainstay in horror. She was also in that
Yeah,
movie,
well,
It's a Wonderful Knife, wasn't it?
yeah. I mean, It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, she played like an aunt or something in that, and she's super great. And I say that she's super attractive. She's just a gorgeous woman, and it's just I don't know. I love her. Anything she's in, I will seek out to watch. I'm just such a fan of hers.
Absolutely. And there's another movie she was in that I watched years ago, and I can never remember which one it is. Was it American Mary? It's If you've never seen it, it's such a weird movie. It's about this girl who is going to college to be a surgeon, and so, but she starts doing like black what's called like black not blacklist like black market surgeries on people. Like cosmetic surgery, like
Little
random like piercings and amputations,
side hustle.
little side hustle. But it's a really good movie, and it's super weird. But it's called American Mary. It is a horror movie. I think it's a body horror type movie.
Does she play the surgeon or is she
She
someone
does.
else? That's awesome. I've not seen that. I'll have to watch that.
Yes, you gotta check it out. I think you can get it on Screambox, and
I
I think
literally
Tubi.
I'll watch anything with her in it. I mean, so good. And again, we have over and over said it, cannot sing the praises of Ginger Snaps enough.
Yes, Ginger Snaps is incredible. I always say I think it's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, werewolf type movie, or at least prototypical, not prototypical, atypical
That's right.
werewolf movie.
So good. So good.
All right. Enough fawning over Catherine Isabel.
There's never enough fawning over Catherine Isabel. I'm sorry.
But we're going to jump to November 3rd of 1946. We have a legend, which is Tom Savini, who
That's
is a
right.
makeup and special effects master. He did work on the Army of Darkness,
Everything. The original
everything.
Friday the 13th. He's done so much. You just can't even begin to list because you will leave stuff out. And he's got a few really great acting credits to his credit as well. He's taught people, right? So his techniques have lived on. And if you want to talk, we just talked about Fonino or something. I mean, come on, Tom Savini. If there's a Mount Rushmore for horror, come on, Tom Savini's got to be on it. Incredible for his contribution. I mean, he's directed movies, he's done so much, but just the effects and the makeup he has done and created. Of course, I'm a practical effects guy. I want to see practical effects every time if I can, and a lot of the best we've seen is because of Thomas Savini in one way or another.
Yeah.
The man is a genius.
He really is. And like you said, I mean he's pioneered a lot of stuff in that field too, which is another really cool thing, is that, when he started doing the practical effects and stuff for horror and modern horror, they didn't have blueprints for a lot of this stuff. So it was
You had to make it
him
up.
just had to make it up as he's going along, just had to make shit up, and it worked.
That's right. And he's still with us, still doing things and
Oh yeah.
still making appearances. And I believe I saw even, I think, an independent toy company's making an action figure of him. Stuff like that. It's just cool shit. It's good to see him still getting the love and appreciation he deserves. It should never stop.
Amen. But all right. That does it for our birthday, so we're gonna move on to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We have a few here, so we'll roll through these, but timely one here. October 31st, 1981. We have Halloween 2. It's that's a not a bad sequel. As far as sequels go, 2's good. Jamie Lee Curtis's hair is super strange, but other than that, it's a decent sequel to the first film.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's I don't know, right? There wasn't supposed to be a sequel. They came up with this. In the grand scheme, I think it works. Somebody should have told Jamie Lee not to cut her hair, and so that they had to do that, but not bad. It's a Halloween 2 is a pretty good 1-2 punch.
Yeah. No, it is. I think it's a good 1-2 punch. And I think it's a good setup for some of the later sequels, prequels, and whatnot. So good stuff. But all right, jumping to November 1st of 1985, we have Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge. It's not a bad movie. It's not the best Nightmare movie, nor is it the best Nightmare sequel. But
No.
it's still part of the legend of Freddy Krueger, and deserves to be acknowledged.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I like it. Definitely, in no way is it the worst. Come on. There's much to me in my mind, much worse. But yeah, you're right. It's not the best sequel. It is what it is. While it's all right, it is a bit of a letdown after the first, I think, but. That's a pretty hard act to follow, but it's fun. I like the movie still. No complaints.
Yeah, absolutely. But very good. Jumping now to November 3rd of 1976, we have Carrie. This is, of course, the original with Sissy Spacek, and it's great. I mean,
Amazing.
it's an amazing movie. This is one of those few movies from the 70s that I think that you could watch in today's day and age, and it holds up extremely well.
Definitely.
Even the modern, critiques. And weirdly enough, I saw the other day that Mike Flanagan also recently
Yeah.
finished a filming for his Carrie project.
Yeah, I think that's a series. Yeah, I mean they've already remade Gary and now they're doing some kind of series, which whatever it is, what it is. I love seeing the appreciation for Stephen King and that these things, and I like Mike Flanagan, don't get me wrong. But again, I don't think Carrie ever needed remade. I don't know. I thought the first was pretty damn good as it is, and there's just some things I don't. In my mind, you just don't touch it. It's just, it doesn't need it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well,
But I will give the series a shot. I will watch it because I love Carrie and I love Stephen King and I love Mike Flanagan. So I will watch it. But I don't know, man. The first one's so damn good.
it is, and it's very difficult to follow up on that. So
Yeah.
I mean, they've tried to remake it before a couple of times, so it'll be interesting to see how they go about it, for sure.
I mean, being a series, I'm guessing it's going to go a little more in depth than the book, maybe. I don't know. I've not read the book, but I'm guessing maybe it'll flesh out the story. So I don't know. I don't know. Is that good or bad? I guess we'll see.
True. All right. Moving on now to November 4th, 1988. We have They Live.
Oh.
This is a good one. This is a campy one. I have seen this one before. I need to rewatch it because it's been a while. But
So good.
good old Roddy Piper, putting on the glasses and seeing the ghouls.
Right, such a statement on commercialism, and a John Carpenter film, and love you, Hot Rod, but yeah, it's the only Roddy Piper film worth it. Okay, I take that back. He was in a movie called Body Slam, a wrestling movie. So
Yeah.
fun, love that movie. But but this movie, it's really good. I really enjoy it. I love it, and I love the concept. I love the story. It's just a fun movie in my eyes, and definitely a movie that feels like it came out in 1988. Not in a bad way, but it's good. And this is one of those movies, just don't ever touch it. Just let it be as it is. No remakes, no nothing. Just let it be.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely agree with that. Or if they ever do remake it, they got to put another wrestler in it. It has to be cheesy as shit.
Yeah, but who's gonna fill Roddy Piper's shoes? Come on.
I don't think anybody truly could,
No.
but anywho, happy birthday to They Live, or movie birthday, I guess you could say. It's since it's come up, I'm gonna have to rewatch it. I haven't watched it in a few years, so.
Yes.
But very good. And we're going to jump now to another November 4th release. Exactly what? 20 years later?
Yep.
We have Return to Sleepaway Camp, which
Oof.
is the to many people's chagrin, it is a sort of requel to the original Sleepaway Camp movie. Basically, if I remember correctly, this ignores the events of Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3, and I guess 4 if you want to include that.
Yeah.
And it effectively is just Sleepaway Camp 1, a time jump, Sleepaway Camp, or Return to Sleepaway Camp, with the return of
That's
that
right. Brings Felisa Rose back into the mix, but I love Sleepaway Camp. I really, really do. And I actually like the other movies a bit. They're very campy and cheesy, but I enjoy them. I enjoy, don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't enjoy this, but this one is, you can definitely tell it's kind of low budget and a straight to DVD thing. And it's not what you would hope it could have been. You would love to see something like this with just a little more backing, a little more to it, right? The ideal could be workable, but their concept, and yeah, it's something. Not the greatest, but and it's also, it's damn hard to see. Because I don't think it has any streaming release anywhere. You have to have a physical copy to watch this movie, or get it through nefarious means.
That was what I was gonna say. I you know, there's no normal method in which you obtain this movie, which is unfortunate.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, you can still find it, DVD and stuff releases. It's out there, and I read into this. There at one point in time, there was somewhere you could stream this, but no longer can you stream it anywhere.
Yeah, that's again, big proponent. Buy your physical media, have it. Even if you don't have to use it, just have it just in case.
Yes.
Because you never know. You never know what's going to happen. Again, things can
Amen.
disappear, things can get edited, whatever. Just go ahead and buy the stuff you love on physical media and just have it in the archives just in case.
For sure. But all right. I think that does it for that. And weirdly enough, we actually have no upcoming releases, guys.
Very
You would
weird.
think with Friday with November, not November, Jesus Christ, October 31st being on a Friday, that we would have some sort of scary movie releasing on that Friday. That seems like a completely missed opportunity. I don't know why people did that.
Don't know. I couldn't see anything. If there, if there, I don't know. If something's hitting a streaming service out there, I didn't see it. I don't know. Couldn't find anything. Now there is It Welcome to Derry episode 2 does hit on Halloween. Special drop on Halloween, so there is that for those that are watching that series. More on that to come.
Yep, absolutely. But for right now, we will pause, and that will do it for our news, upcoming birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. But when we come back, we will have our official review of It, Welcome to Derry, Episode 1. So stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. Okay, we're back here on Listen to Their Screams, and this is a little bit of a unique. We're not our first time reviewing episodes of a series. But it is a unique thing for it to be the only thing we review. But that's the
Yes.
way it fell. Here we are talking about It, Welcome to Derry, Episode 1. And what I will say this up front, what is unique, typically with a series or an episode, we don't rate it. Because it's, how do you rate it, right? You haven't seen the whole series yet. And it's, I don't feel it's a advantageous to really rate a single episode per se, because you don't know where it's going. But this episode one is called, very originally, The Pilot. It is written by, how do you say this guy's name? Jason, I'm going to say Fuchs, even though that's not how I want to pronounce it. I'm sorry, Jason. I don't know. So that's just, I'm saying Jason Fuchs. And it is directed by Andy Muschietti. Sorry, Clara Stack, Miles Eckhart, Jack Legault, and others. The first episode was released October 26th on HBO Max. And like we just mentioned a few minutes ago, episode 2 is a, I think, a special drop on October 31st. I don't, that's not their normal schedule. I think it's a special drop for Halloween. It will, I think, be a weekly drop. I think it's an, is it a 9-episode series? I'm thinking, if I saw right, I could be wrong on
I
that
think
too.
so.
Yeah. So, again, this is a prequel to the, well, anything exists it-wise, but particularly the two newest movies. It is obviously based on the Stephen King novel. And it does explore Pennywise, the series in as a whole, is meant to explore Pennywise a little deeper and give you a little backstory on how this develops and this the scenario of the movies it with Pennywise and give you like the, and then hopefully it will dive into, right, there's that infamous picture in the It movies of Pennywise working at a circus that we've seen. Hopefully in this series somewhere it'll delve into that. I'm assuming it will. That's very cool. And again, we do keep this spoiler free. We hope you have already watched this and supported it. If not, do go watch it. So this won't be very long because there's not a lot we can say without giving away a lot, because okay, here's here is how I would describe this first episode. Number one, it was batshit crazy. Man, it was just, it was nuts in a good way. It was just crazy. It was nonstop. I will use the word disadvantage, but not because it's a negative. I still enjoyed the episode a lot. It did have the disadvantage of, right, you have to introduce the characters, which most first episodes falls into that. And I hope people don't judge anything by a first episode, because you have to do so much setting the stage to make anything work, right? There has to be a lot of introductory stuff. And as you're watching this, there's stuff happening and you're thinking for a while, you're thinking, what is this? What is this? What is this? I don't understand what is going on. And then as more characters are introduced, more scenario is developed, you start to understand some of what was shown and who certain people are. I will say the opening of this episode, the first, whatever you want to call it, the first act, the first scene, the first story point, whatever. I don't even know what to think of that. I don't know how to just even formulate thoughts. And I'm assuming that will be more developed as the series goes on. It was absolutely berserk, and it was fucking creepy as hell on multiple levels. My thing, I love the It movies. I absolutely do. All of them. I love the original It series. I love the two movies they made. I love them all. I thought this was just so far, I know it's only one episode, but I thought this was a great addition to the franchise. It felt like it belongs in that universe. I thought the actors were very, very talented. I thought they were very well done. I thought they really fit the time period well. The way they acted, the terminology, that you really felt like you were truly watching something from that time period. I thought it was well done. Of course, the production, all that was just spot on. We've not gotten to the big points yet. One little spoiler, right? We've not, quote unquote, seen Pennywise yet.
Nope.
You're right. But that, surely, right? That's going to build until we get that. But, we do have an episode coming out on Halloween. Ooh, so what's that going to mean? I think this thing did a really great job of setting the stage, telling us what we're dealing with. I'm curious how certain things come together, right? Because we really had kind of two little storylines going on, right? The story of these kids, this group of friends who are dealing with the situation on their part. And then there was a storyline of an army, or excuse me, an Air Force officer. We're got to assume that at some point these two worlds are going to come together in some way within this series and the story. And I'm curious to see how that happens. But everybody, man, I thought the casting was great. I thought everything was great. I thought it was really, really entertaining. I think it really, at least for me, did a good job of hooking me first episode, because while it set the stage, it raised a lot of questions. To me, that's what a first episode should do, right? Because it should make you have a lot of questions so that then they can spend the rest of that series answering your questions, hopefully. If there's no questions, if there's no desire to know more, then what's the point in doing more of the series, right? What's of doing more episodes? If there's not more that you need developed, that you want developed in this world. And I've got so many questions in this first episode that I just can't wait for the future episodes to get them answered, to know what's going on and what's what in all the best ways. So again, loved it, enjoyed it a whole lot. Thought it was super fun. Ike, what did you think of episode one of It? Welcome to Derry.
No, I 100% agree. The opening, the sort of cold open to this is just absolutely batshit insane. I mean, really, even before the opening credits roll, before it even tells you what the hell you're watching, it's literally just the most insane 5 to 6 minutes that I've probably ever seen in a television show.
And the best part was you watch it and everything, and you're like, what the fuck did I just watch? What is that? What is it? What does this have to do with anything? You're really lost, but then they start to bring you back down a little bit and explain somewhat to a point. So
that's what I was gonna say. They bury the lead and they kind of give
that's
you
right.
a mystery. They give you a mystery on a platter.
Yeah,
and you're just like, okay, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? And then they kind of give you little bits and pieces to kind of point you in the right direction. You see, you know, who we assume is Pennywise, which obviously it most likely is. You see him up to some of his old tricks that we've seen in other things potentially.
Yep.
You know, we also see some other little nods here and there to some of the potential other characters. And then the episode pretty much ends off on a complete what the fuck just happened as well. I mean, just 100%. I mean, it starts and ends with more questions than answers.
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of like Dave said, it makes you really want to know what's going to happen next. So it really leads you to say, okay, well, you know, we have these two storylines. Like you said, you have the kind of the kid storyline and then the adult storyline that's following the different characters. And they're definitely going two different directions. So I'm very curious where they're going to go with them. But until we know more, I'm not going to speculate. I have my theories, but we'll see. And, you know, it was just fantastic, truly. I was very worried that they were just going to kind of do it half-assed, just, oh, here's Pennywise in a show. And it's definitely not that. They're really letting – they're building up to this reveal of Pennywise, and hopefully we'll, you know, get to know more about the other incarnations of him. Because like we said, he only comes around every 27 years, right?
Yeah.
Or is it 20 – yeah, 27 years?
Yeah, 27, I think, yeah.
So we've kind of established that this is the time that he came prior to the events of chapter 1.
Yeah.
And then there's a rumor that they're going to make multiple seasons of the show that go back all the way to the first time that Pennywise came to Earth.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if they'll do that. I don't know if that's going to be the plan. That's just a rumor I heard. But if it is, we'll hopefully see even more cool shit coming from that. But at least as far as the first episode goes, this is a strong first episode.
Yeah.
And it really, it makes me want more. So I'm really excited to see what comes up next.
Me too. You know, I realized that I kind of brushed off the episode being called the pilot because it was, you know, the first episode, right? And the pilot, but it's the pilot and the one adult main character is a pilot.
Is a pilot. Yeah.
So maybe I shouldn't have brushed that off so easily. Then maybe there is some meaning behind it. I thought that was just kind of a cheap first title, but then I'm like, oh, okay. Just dawned on me that. So, but again, that episode is out there, available now, HBO Max. Go watch it. As this episode drops, if you're listening to it, day of drop on Thursday, the October 30th, the second episode will be out the next day on Halloween. So, so depending on when you listen to it, there might be two episodes available for you to watch. But I really urge everybody to go give this a shot. It seems so far to be pretty strong, and I'm excited. It's really got me excited to see the rest of the series. So you know, and what they do. So give it a shot, support it. It should be a fun ride. Everybody, remember our next episode technically is the Halloween special that it will drop on Halloween Day, where Ike and I are going to play some trivia with the wives and have some fun there. So check that out. But then our next regular scheduled episode, we will be reviewing the movie Halloween Aftermath. This is a Halloween franchise fan film that takes place between Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends. It's available to watch free on YouTube. It's getting a lot of buzz online. Definitely piqued our curiosity. We had kind of wanted to watch it anyway. And, you know, the schedule was a little light at this point. We thought, hey, why not? Let's just talk about this then. Let's review this. So we're going to see what we think of Halloween Aftermath and how, as a fan film, how as a creative contribution to the Halloween franchise, how it works and how it fits in. We'll talk all about that next episode. Should be fun. Special thank you to the wives and all of you listeners and followers for all of your support and everything that we do. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the number 2 Screams, and we'll be there. We post all the news and things you hear here, but then other stuff too that is exclusive to social media. We post a lot of that on there. We try to interact and discuss things with fans. So don't be afraid to hit us up on social media with your thoughts, what you're watching, whatever it may be. We like that interaction. So before we close, Ike, and officially move into Halloween, is there anything you want to add?
Well, this obviously this episode is going to come out before Halloween. So, you know, anybody who's going out and partying or doing anything tomorrow, be safe, be smart. You know, you check your candy, all that good stuff. But mostly have fun. You know, we make sure that you're having fun and celebrating the season and doing so responsibly. This is unfortunately a big time for things like DUI, and you know, we really don't want to see our friends out there getting in trouble. So be smart.
That's right, and be positive impacts on the trick or treaters that come to you, and let them enjoy their childhood. And always remember, it is technically when this drops, it'll be Halloween Eve. Make sure you do leave some bleach and salt out for Art the Clown, or else, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. That is the tradition. So, but no, enjoy your Halloween. Have fun. You know, watch whatever you want to watch. Eat a lot of candy and special treats. Dress up. Have a good time. But like I said, do so responsibly and intelligently. But some point in your in all your good times, make sure you do listen to our Halloween special and play along with us with our trivia and so forth. It is a good time, and hopefully it adds to your holiday. So until that episode, which technically, as this drops, is tomorrow. So we'll talk to you tomorrow, technically. Maybe not how you're listening to it, but, you know, we got to keep our universal timeline here. So we're building a universe here. And we gotta stay with it. So wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.